Precious Father, we come before you this morning as a group of needy people, Lord, in need of your grace, of your love, of your goodness towards us, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless the preaching of the word here this morning, Lord, that you would anoint my lips so that I could break the bread of life here in a way that glorifies you and in truth and in love. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint the ears of the hearers, Lord, that we would be able to grasp and be able to understand everything that you have for us here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to see you all. It's been really good what was shared already. I really appreciated what everyone shared. I'm just thinking about what Isaac shared there. You know, you ever have something that you have a little nugget and or a little something, and it tastes so good, you almost don't want to eat anymore because you're scared the next one won't taste as good. Right? No, you don't struggle with that? It's just like, oh, just there got to be more of that good, right? So, no, I thought that was really good. I really appreciate that, Brother Isaac. And it's this God that we serve. And, you know, it's the fear of the Lord is very healthy. It's very good for us. It's not something that necessarily always feels good, but it's something that's always good for us. So today I am going to try and talk about some qualifications for a deacon. We know we have some, we're looking for a few more deacons. So I want to try my best to kind of bring that across. Well, let's see what the Lord has for us there. Obviously, the first thing I generally like to do if I'm searching on a specific topic, I like to know the definition. And the word deacon is very interesting, as in it has many different definitions depending on what part of society you're from or what religion you're from. So in Catholic, Anglican, Orthodox churches, it's an ordained minister of an order ranking below that of a priest. In some Protestant churches, it's a lay officer appointed to assist a minister, especially in secular affairs. Historically, in the early church, it's an appointed minister of charity. So one other thing I did, which I found really interesting, I went and I looked at the, we all know what the Strong's Concordance is, right? So I went and looked at the Strong's number on that word, and it's 1249, which is, it's the word pronounced diakonos. And what it means is it's an attendant, a waiter, at a table or in menial duties, specifically a Christian teacher, pastor, minister, or a servant. So one thing I found very interesting was that, the actual word deacon or deacons, I think it's like three times in the Bible. I didn't write it down, but it's very limited. But the word 1249, which is every single time the word deacon is mentioned, it's Strong's 1249 explanation. And it occurs multiple times. And what I want to do is I want to go over some of those scriptures and just kind of, because I think it's going to give us a little bit more of a well-rounded perspective, a little bit more into what a person can or should be. But one other definition that I found here is, and obviously this one would be taken from the Strong's a little bit more. It's one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master, a servant, an attendant, a minister, a servant of a king. A deacon is one who, by virtue of the office assigned to him by the church, cares for the poor and has charge of and distributes the money collected for their use. He's a waiter, one who serves food and drink. That kind of, you know, breaks it down into stuff that we can understand. But if we look at some of these verses, and again, these verses will be using the word minister and servant, because that's basically what the word deacon breaks down into, according to Strong's. And there's just a few verses here, and I was gonna start writing all the qualifications down, but I decided not to do that, because the way humanity often does is it takes that list and it laminates it, covers it in gold, and does all kinds of stuff, and it says this is the standard. And that's not how God wants things done. The main thing that God wants is one thing that, well, that we're going to be talking about is this person has to be full of the Holy Ghost, and we all do as well. And it's the Holy Ghost that will tell us who this person is going to be. But let's look at a few scripture verses. You can turn to them if you'd like. I will be going through them fairly quickly. Just for us to kind of get a grasp, and again, I'm going after the word servant and minister. So Matthew 20, 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Matthew 23, 11. But he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. Mark 9, 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and a servant of all. And just I know there's many more, but just a few verses, a compilation there. What I see in these verses is I see humility. Not someone that, you know, is going around saying, hey, I'm the man. I'm the guy you should choose. And the person oftentimes will know when God is calling them. I have never heard of anybody who's been ordained for any type of church leadership where they said, I had no idea. It's generally God calling and pulling on their heart. And there's nothing wrong with them affirming that to leadership. But, you know, walking around saying, I'm the guy, I've got what it takes, I'm this, and that's a little different. I think we can all understand the difference in those two, right? So a few more verses here, and some of these I thought were kind of interesting. If any man serve me, let him follow me, John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If a man serve me, him will my Father honor. Basically just giving you a little bit of encouragement for the brother that this is going to be for, that, you know, if you do this diligently, God will honor you for it. Romans 15:8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So basically, you know, this brother is going to be a bearer of truth, the word of God will be in him. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Now verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 3:5, the verse is talking about no sufficiency of ourselves, but of God. And verse 6 here says, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For this letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And one thing I want to focus on here is this. I think we all know what it looks like when we see a brother that's self-sufficient, or when we see somebody that really relies on the grace of God in their life. Those two people will look very different. I've said it before and I'll say it again. A brother or sister, for this doesn't have to just apply to deacons, but a brother or sister who is a very self-sufficient person will really struggle with their relationship with the Lord because they don't really need God. They're very good at what they do. They can get a lot of stuff done. They really know how to do things. There isn't a whole lot of need. That doesn't mean that that person can't be humble and allow God to use them in a mighty way. But we can see the difference. 2 Corinthians 6:4, it's talking about receive not the grace of God in vain, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience and afflictions and necessities and in distress in distresses. So I think we all understand the grace of God. Do we all understand what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit? I don't have time to explain that, but I just want us to think about that. I think all of us have done that. All of us have grieved the Holy Spirit, and we all know when we've grieved the Holy Spirit. So that's something that obviously this brother would not be making it a habit of doing that, of taking the or receiving the grace of God in vain. God gives us grace for something he has for us to do, not for us to back away from the task that he would have us to do and forsake it. Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual workings of his power. And again, that's just kind of reiterating what I just said there. It's the grace of God that gives this gift of deaconship. It's not something that we've mustered up and gone to school and passed all the tests and done all the right classes and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that that stuff isn't profitable and helps us, but it's not the qualifying factor. We don't have a school of deacons that you have to go through first. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to you or to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I Paul am made a minister. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So again, I'm going to be focusing, I'm just kind of doing a little, gathering a little few other scriptures of, later on, I'm going to go in depth into, Timothy there. But I just want you to see where I'm getting some of this information from, okay? That's why I'm sharing these scriptures. I know I'm going over it kind of quick, but I do want to focus a little bit more on some of those details, but I just kind of want you to see where I got it from, and it's from some of these verses. Grounded and settled is the things I want to focus on there. This brother is grounded and settled in his faith. First Timothy 4:6, but if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So putting in remembrance is what I kind of want to glean out of that one. So there we have some scriptures. There's a lot more there. I won't go through them for time's sake, but let's start off by going to Acts 6. You can turn there with me if you'd like. I'm just going to read the first 7 verses here. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians of the against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Porosharus. I'm gonna kibosh these names, I'm sorry. And Nicanor, and Timon, and Pharmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient unto the faith. I'm going to stop it right there. And I just want to point out one thing here. In this scripture here, we don't read the word deacon. Strong's G1249 is not used in this text. So how come we think this is talking about deacons? It's because they're just meeting physical needs. That's it. That's what a deacon does. But there is no, there's nothing in there that says deacon. There's nothing in there that uses that definition of servant minister that Strong's would have used in all those other scriptures that I read, or that Strong's uses in Timothy when it talks about a deacon. But we're not here to debate this scripture. We know it applies to somebody meeting the physical needs of the church. And that's what deacons do. And we also, there are some qualifications in here that we want to glean out, and that we want to apply. And one of them is this brother will be full of the Holy Ghost. So what does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? You all see that dove on top of my head? I'm being sarcastic, just in case any of you actually think I'm serious. So the Bible says, if you look up the phrase "full of the Holy Ghost" in the scriptures, that exact phrase, the Bible only references that to two men. One is Jesus, and the other one is why can't I remember his name right now? No. No, it doesn't say that about him. Starts with a B. Oh, I can't believe I can't think of it. No B. Yeah, Barnabas, that's right. Strangely enough, those are the only two men that that phrase is used to identify this man. Okay, I'm sure there's lots of other verses where it talks about other men being having the Holy Ghost and such like that, but if you search that exact phrase in the King James Bible, because that's what I was using to prepare for this message.
What phrase was that?
Filled with the Holy Ghost. It only mentions those two people. And Jesus, well, a dove descended upon him, and that's when the Holy Ghost came upon him. So that must be a requirement, right? I'm being sarcastic again. I just want us to just kind of get a good grasp on, it's not going to be something that is this big, booming, theatrical event that tells us whether or not a person is filled with the Holy Ghost. It will actually likely be quite the opposite. If we are not looking, we likely won't see it. John 14:26 says, The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. So basically, this brother is... The Holy Ghost is like a GPS. For those of us that use a GPS, And for those that actually follow it, I use a GPS, and then I decide if I know a better way, and then I use that one. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about today. But this is a spiritual GPS that is never wrong. This isn't a GPS that is geared towards marketing, and it's going to send you to the place where the shops are paying the highest rates, so you drive by their shops on your route. That's what Google does. That's not how this GPS works. This GPS has God, Christ, God-focused, Christ-focused, wants to accomplish God's will. We won't always like where this GPS takes us. Sometimes we will like where it takes us. But a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to see evidence of that in his life. We're going to see that sometimes this man has to do hard things, but it's for the glory of God. This man is concerned about the things of others, not just himself. And I know sometimes it's like, well, yeah, but what does that really look like? We need something a little bit more tangible, something we can not necessarily lay our hands on, but something that we can definitely put some words to. I know that makes it a lot easier for us. So let's go to Galatians 5. Excuse me. I want to start reading here in verse 22. And basically, we're just talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is this brother loving? I don't mean that he, you know, gets out of the car when there's a turtle walking across the road and he helps the turtle off the road. Okay? But I think we know. We have a proper understanding of love, not the world's definition of love. We understand that love sometimes hurts. Amen? Joy. Is this brother joyful? And I don't mean he's bouncing around singing hallelujah, praise the Lord all the time. But in general, is this brother have the joy of the Lord in his life? Not always downcast and, oh, woe is me, or anything else like that. Peace. You ever notice, and I think us parents know this more for us that have children. You know when you're looking at your child and you know there's something wrong? Like something's bothering that child. You can just tell. No, everything's fine. I'm good. No, you're not. Yeah, I'm fine. Uh-huh. I was born yesterday. But as we get older and we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and by the way, I am filled with the Holy Ghost, not because I think I am, because the Bible says that I am, and I take the Bible at its word. Okay? And it's not because I feel like I am. It's because the Bible says that I am. So, as we start seeing, you can look at someone's face, and I'm just kind of going to look at the ceiling because I don't want to make anybody feel nervous. But you can see something is wrong in their life. You can see the peace of God is not there. And I'm not talking about one instant or anything like that. But I'm talking about as a general rule of life. We all go through hard times. We all go through times where things are tough and where we make mistakes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as a general, you know, we've observed this brother, and as a general rule, this is what we see. Long-suffering. What does long-suffering mean? Does that mean I just have to keep suffering and suffering? One other thing that goes very well with long-suffering is patience. Amen. How many of us here can say we appreciate the long-suffering and patience of God? Amen. We do. So if we want to be Christ-like, then we need that as well. Obviously, we can't tolerate sin, but this brother would obviously have a good discernment for that. Gentleness. You know, it's not... It would be a brother that's kind of sympathetic to other people's needs, to maybe if you're dealing with a person that's very feely, that you might be a little bit sympathetic to that, to an extent of where it benefits them, not where it hinders them. But gentleness. This brother in general would have that fruit of gentleness in his life. Goodness. The goodness of God. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. That sometimes doesn't feel very good, does it? But goodness. Is this brother generally, and as I'm saying these things, I know you're all kind of like, you're putting all kinds of names through your mind and everything. But remember, we want to see the big picture. We want to be led of the Holy Spirit. God already has someone picked out. Faith. Obviously, we want this brother to be of the faith. And we also want him to have faith that works. We can all say that we have faith. And then when a trial comes our way, then we tend to fret, get worried, don't know how to deal with the situation. Faith. Meekness. Meekness is meekness and temperance. To me, they kind of go hand in hand. It's just when there's issues that need to be dealt with, you would feel confident that this brother would be able to control himself, that he wouldn't fly off the handle. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I want to use Timothy to go into some of those things a little bit more. And again, I'm not talking about perfection. We're not looking for a perfect brother, but we're looking for, because if we're looking for a perfect brother, then I shouldn't be up here. We're looking for, in generality, and again, I can't stress enough, the Holy Spirit will guide us. If you're going to take what I'm saying here this morning and say that that's the standard and we can't deviate from that, I am giving you truth out of the scriptures. And the standard are written in the scriptures. But we need the Holy Spirit to guide us to that. Sorry. Let's go to Timothy chapter 3 here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start in verse 8 here. Likewise must the deacons be grave. What does the word grave mean? Well, it means to be honorable, honest, dignified. Grave is not just a person that never has a smile on their face, and never laughs. In my culture, if you're ordained a minister, your life is over. You're not going to have fun anymore. Hopefully you had all your fun before you were ordained. Because after that, you're this person that wears black, and you always have a serious look on your face. And I will admit, I've been guilty of that. When I think, I have a concentrating face is what I call it. And some people have mistaken that for maybe disgruntledness, or I'm upset because I curl my eyebrows and I think. But I can smile. But that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for someone who's brave and who's got this serious look about them and everything. Do you see how we really need the discernment here? If we just look at the outside and all those things, we're going to get imbalanced. We're going to get imbalanced qualifications. And everything can be overdone in both directions. When someone's grave, it means they're honorable. We can look up to them and say, hey, that person reminds me a bit of the character of Christ. It's also someone that's honest and of good report. Okay? And I'm not just talking in the church, also in the community. You know, if we were to go ask this brother's neighbors, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? He's a crook. That would be a horrible testimony. And let's not have that testimony. You know, I want to make sure that it was Brother Kenton shared with me a story once about somebody he knew that had a good business reputation, but amongst his suppliers he had a really bad reputation. And that really caused me to examine myself. How am I to my suppliers? My customers often affirm me with their appreciation for my services. But how am I to my suppliers? Do my suppliers count it a joy to deal with me, to work with me? It's a two-way street, because we are representing. We might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. We need to be of honest report everywhere. It says, not double-tongued. That's basically talking about deceitful, hypocritical. Says one thing and does another. Can't be trusted. And I think we all, that's pretty basic. I think we all don't want, none of us want a person like that in any kind of leadership. The trust is shattered in those people. But sometimes we can be conniving in the way we speak. We can be, let me see, how can I explain it to you? Okay, so I'll give you an example of something I had once many years ago with one of my employees. There was a particular vehicle that was in, and the customer had asked me to check the rear axle fluid on this vehicle. And so I had been having a few issues with this employee, and I asked the employee, I said, did you check the rear axle fluid? His response to me was, all the fluids are good. I looked at him and I said, I didn't ask you if all the fluids were good. I said, I asked you, did you check the rear axle? Can you answer that question? He's like, it doesn't have a rear axle. I said, what is that? Do you see how he didn't lie? But I would consider that deceit. Amen? And that's so easy for us to do that. We tell the truth, half-truth, and it doesn't convict our conscience. Okay? Those are some of the ways that it might fit in a little bit more with how we work every day. Not given to much wine.
not a drunk. Okay, so what's a drunk? Someone who staggers around and bumps into things? Is that a drunk? Yeah, that's a world standard of a drunk. Do you think that the spiritual standard might be a little bit higher? Or lower, whichever? Okay, how about this? You know, I just need that glass of wine every day. You know, it's just to calm my nerves. It's just one glass a day. It's no big deal. I would challenge any brother in here, one glass a day, and you want to be in church leadership, you're going to need 2 to 3, possibly more glasses a day to get the same effect. That one glass a day won't cut it anymore. Are you a drunk then? That one glass a day might be sufficient for now. How about Jesus calms your nerves? The more of him, the better. You need him more, he'll give you more, and it's better for you.
Right.
Not given too much wine. Not greedy of filthy lucre. How does this brother manage money? And I'm going to stretch this a little bit. Can this brother keep a job? Or is he chasing after the next easy money pitch? Can he put in an honest day's work? Money is the manna of the world. Let's look at the rich young ruler. If there was ever someone by their own testimony that had the qualifications of a deacon, it would have been this guy. Amen? But he loved his money more. Is this brother, is he wise with his money? It doesn't mean he's going to be rich. Possibly quite the opposite. But the other side of that coin is this brother isn't going to always be in need of financial assistance because this job didn't work out or that job didn't work out or he can't really get a job. There's lots of work out there. A lot of it you have to work. Does this brother understand that this when the I think it's in Corinthians where it says that only an infidel won't go out and work and supply for his children or for his family? I know this might sound a little harsh, but money will destroy people who are ruled by it. Okay, I'm going to quote Dave Ramsey here, and not in a spiritual sense, but in just general worldly wisdom. Either you rule your money or your money rules you. It doesn't matter how much or how little of it there is. It's the power you put into it that gives it the control. And it is something that is very serious. You know, I can remember when I was young, we were dealing with a minister that had a problem with stealing. He would steal out of the offering box. This is no joke. It is real. Just gotta. Okay, 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Again, I want to just talk about this brother is confident, not in his own abilities. I think we all kind of understand the difference between someone who is proudly confident and someone who is humbly confident. This brother is going to have a good grasp of the scriptures and be confident of that. He's not swayed to and fro. Every time a new doctrine, a new teaching comes up, because they will come up. He doesn't just, oh, that sounds great. Hook, line, and sinker on that one. No, but he takes time. Takes time to consider, thinks about it, because he's grounded and well-rooted. And sometimes, some of you might be thinking, well, Fant, I can't think of anybody. But brothers, honestly, like a lot of these things, it should be every one of us. And I'm really talking to the brothers here. We have a really, really big responsibility for our families. Yes, we're looking for someone from the church, and that person will be gifted by God. But in all honesty, these things that I'm talking about here, it should be kind of be the standard for our Christian life. It doesn't necessarily mean that this brother is going to be in a teaching position, or that he'll be a song leader or a moderator or have or something. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that when this brother shares, it'll be profitable and meaningful. We can see he understands the scriptures. Verse 10 here says, and let these also first be proven, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. We're going to see this brother's willingness to serve, to step out and help carry the load, to meet the needs, and just in general, and reaching out. I can very clearly remember my, and I haven't shared this with anyone, or with, I shouldn't say with anyone, with very few people, but I think it's profitable to share here, just because we are doing this again. So, when I was ordained as deacon many years ago, my confidence was shaken in the support from the brothers. I could feel a lot of support from some brothers and not some from some. I had a brother come up to me and say, so you have the qualifications for a deacon? I never knew that. That's very confident building. Okay? But brothers, I did not go to people to get my confidence back. I went to the Lord. Having been in my teenage years and a childhood, and having learned that men will always let me down and God will not, I went to God and I said, look, Lord, if I am going to be an effective deacon in this congregation, I will need affirmation from you, and I'll need it in a big way. And God gave it. And I was able to serve, regardless of how I perceived some people felt about my position. So let's just make sure that when this comes up, that, you know, we don't put a brother through that. That can be very disheartening. Our words, they can cut like knives. And I apologize. I'm guilty. I know I've probably hurt some of you. And I apologize for that. And as I get older, I learn that more and more, that, you know, words can cut really deep. Being found blameless, innocent of wrongdoing. Again, just in general, a good report. Not someone that's in trouble or always in need of ministering and help themselves. And 3:11 here, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. So, honorable, honest, of good report. Not someone, again, we're talking about the qualifications of the wife here now. Not someone that's likes to gossip or share some juicy news. Now, remember the example I gave of my employee. Sometimes we like to share stuff, we just leave the name out. And it makes us feel better about what we're sharing because we didn't actually say their name. Someone that any sister can confide in, knowing that they'll be held in confidentiality. That's what this wife is going to look like. She's going to be honorable, honest, of good report. Someone that a sister knows if I talk to this sister, it's not going to be on social media. It's not going to be on the church social media. I'm not talking about our church chat. I'm just talking about news among the sisters. Faithful in all things, including being a wife. And I don't have time to go into that. But I do want to put a plug in here, everyone. And please listen to my heart and what I'm going to say here. Okay? If we're looking for, we are looking for the character traits of a qualified couple. And I want to talk about, it doesn't talk about for the wife. The qualifications are simple. It's what I just said. Nothing more. Okay? Having a wife do most of the work, meanwhile the husband goes out and works, supplying for the family, it's often what we've done because we've needed to, but that's not the biblical standard. It's something that we might have done to cope, but it's not what the biblical standard is. I know it just kind of works better that way, but that's not what the biblical standard is. A wife's primary job is to meet the needs of her family at home. A lot of our wives, they homeschool. They take care of the house and everything. And then on top of all that, yet, we want them to do all this church work. That's not their responsibility. There's nothing wrong with that. But remember, it's the exception, not the rule. Her requirement is to meet the needs of her family at home. That's what's expected from the wife. And those other qualifications I gave there. It's not the responsibility of a deacon's wife or even an elder's wife. It's the man that carries that responsibility. And if she can be a helpmeet for him in that, that's great. But remember, that's not... We don't look at a brother and say, hey, that brother, he meets everything, but his wife, no, she won't be a help. That's not what the Bible says. Can she support him? That's the brother that we're ordaining. That's the requirement. The main responsibility falls on the man, not the wife. And I'm not saying anything negative about our deacons' wives or even our elders' wives. They are great. They are fabulous. I don't know how we would do without them. They are a great blessing. They are above and beyond anything the scriptures would ask. And I'm very thankful for them. But it's not the requirement. So sisters, thank you very much. You go above and beyond your call. I'm not discouraging it. I don't want to discourage you in that work. But as we try to figure out who God would have us to choose, let's just remember what the standard is, what the requirement of God is, and what maybe we've made the expectations. Because a lot of times women do feel like they're expected to do something because their husband is in some form of leadership. And they are. They're expected to be grave, not to be a busybody and gossip around, to be honorable, to support her husband. Yeah, those are the requirements. That's it. And a woman should not feel like she's anything less just because she can't meet up to what maybe some other women are doing. And I'm not making anybody better or worse. I'm just saying when we use other people to measure ourselves, we generally get into trouble. So let's not do that. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife. We don't practice physical polygamy here. So I think all the brothers here would qualify that are married. But I do want to interject a couple of verses here. I'm not going to expound on them, but I just want them to sink into your mind. Matthew 5:27-28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart already. That's for us brothers. How's it with us? If we're a brother that enjoys and is defeated by lust, we are disqualified. That's it. Ruling their children in their own houses well. When you look at their home, are the children running the home? Is the wife running the home? Or is the husband running the home? The requirement is that the man's running the home. And I know it says ruling. And we just talked about Isaac. Isaac gave a great explanation of God and the balance of love and power. Thanks, brother. Save me a lot of work here. Okay? Now, as a father, we are to be the Christ to our children in the home. So you have to have that balance. We have to have that balance for our families. That's how we rule. And I'm not talking about sometimes in life, we've made mistakes. And we might have made mistakes with our families. We might have made mistakes in our own lives. And the grace of God has washed a lot of those things away. And none of us in here are reaping the true fruit of our sin-ridden past. Amen? We've all been delivered from that and given lots of grace. So let's remember that if we're looking at something or at somebody. And remember, God has put those things away. What the plowman has plowed under. In Hosea, we read that the plowman shall surpass the reaper. What the plowman has plowed under, let's not bring back up. If it's truly been brought up. I mean, if it's truly been put down. Let's leave it there. And then verse 13 here, it says, this was a verse when I was a deacon that very, very much encouraged me. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Brothers, take this scripture and make it your own. The scriptures don't lie. Great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we should all strive to attain these things. You know, as we go through the scriptures, I know I've kind of went through it kind of quickly here, and I know we're well over time. Apologize for that. But let's allow the Holy Ghost to lead us in those things. right? And again, I don't want to, the whole thing I said there about the wives, I don't want that to be a discouragement. I want it to be an encouragement, okay? I also do want to plug in that in Acts, where those men were chosen, it said nothing about their wives. So let's allow the Holy Ghost to lead us in this. And it might not be the next month. It might take a while. But I think God will put it in all of our hearts who he has chosen already. And the brother already knows. So, Brother Isaac, did you want to come back up here or did you want me to just close? Okay. Let's close again in a word of prayer. Precious Father, we come before you again this afternoon now. Lord, we thank you for your holy scriptures. Lord, you have not left us without direction, without guidance. I just pray that this word would minister to our hearts the fruit that you would want to see come out of it. Lord, we want to glorify you in everything that we do, and I just pray that you would help us to do that. And Lord, I just pray that you would you would just fine-tune all those things that have been shared here, and may it break forth and minister the truth of your righteousness. I just pray that you would bless everyone as they go from here, and as they spend the rest of their day, that they would honor and glorify you, not only today, but also in the next week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're all dismissed.